the HIV epidemic and the hepatitis C epidemic worldwide is the use of contaminated needles and syringes. And access to sterile injection equipment is a critical determinant of risk among injection drug users. We know from the literature that expanded access to sterile syringes has been shown to reduce the transmission of HIV/AIDS and other blood-borne diseases. And syringe access is typically provided through both syringe exchange programs and pharmacy-based programs. In the United States, over-the-counter sale of non-prescription syringes is legal in 45 states. However, very little is known about the people who utilize it. The Expanded Syringe Access Demonstration Program, or ESAP, was created by the New York State Legislature in 2000 with the purpose of reducing the transmission of blood-borne diseases, including HIV. It was implemented in 2001 and continues now on a demonstration basis through 2010. ESAP permits pharmacies and healthcare providers to sell or furnish up to 10 syringes per transaction without a prescription. It stipulates that customers must be at least 18 years of age. Pharmacies and providers must be registered with the New York State Department of Health in order to participate. Syringes must be stored behind the counter, and they must be, syringes provided through ESAP must be accompanied by a safety insert that explains proper use, risk of blood-borne diseases, proper disposal, dangers of injection drug use, how to access drug treatment, as well as information about HIV and AIDS. And there's a ban on advertising ESAP. Pharmacies are allowed to display a small detail that looks like this, but in reality, it's just a little larger than in this article. Prior to ESAP, syringe exchange programs provided most of the access to sterile syringes to injection drug users in New York State. Currently, there are 17 legal SEPs in New York State, 13 of which are in New York City. I think two just came on board, Samuel mentioned 11 very recently. So the programs don't cover the whole state. One of the primary reasons is that communities must have buy-in before a syringe exchange program is set up. ESAP works to supplement at syringe exchange programs by providing access to sterile syringes in areas that aren't served by SEPs, and also in areas that are served by SEPs to provide expanded access by having longer hours of operation and a greater number of locations. Again, there are 17 agencies that operate syringe exchange programs, and they have 47 sites, whereas ESAP registered pharmacies number above 3,000. There have been some concerns expressed about ESAP as a syringe access program for injection drug users. One is that injection drug users might be embarrassed to walk into a pharmacy and purchase a syringe, particularly if it's in their own neighborhood. Second is that needles and syringes provided through ESAP typically are not free. They can range anywhere from 10 cents for a single syringe to $10 for a 10-pack, which can cost sometimes more than the drug itself that they're wishing to inject. And the other is the fear of arrest. When the public health law was changed to make purchasing non-prescription syringes legal, the criminal law was not changed. So it's still illegal to carry a syringe, but it's legal to purchase one. And we've done some work around training law enforcement, but it's still under their discretion whether to arrest. A lot of research has been done on syringe access and on ESAP specifically, but most studies of ESAP utilization survey IDUs in venues where they're thought to congregate, in syringe exchange programs or drug treatment settings, sometimes street outreach venues. And while it seems intuitive that injection drug users would be the primary users of the program, we know anecdotally that others use it as well, such as diabetics, people who are using it for veterinary use. And there's no systematic effort that has taken place to characterize ESAP customers. We believe that this represents the first attempt in the United States to survey pharmacy customers at the point of purchase. This was part of a larger evaluation funded by CDC. It was a three-year project evaluating the impact of ESAP. As part of the larger project, we conducted focus groups with injection drug users, statewide surveys of ESAP-registered pharmacies, statewide surveys of residential sharps collection programs, which are housed in nursing homes and hospitals, pharmacy visits to 180 ESAP registered pharmacies in 9 cities throughout the state to directly observe pharmacy sales practice, surveys of law enforcement administrators, and then this survey that I'm going to talk about today of pharmacy customers. We had originally intended to recruit pharmacies based on their sales volume, as indicated in the pharmacist survey that we did. We experienced a high refusal rate, largely because in chain pharmacies, we had to go through several levels of corporate review even to get one store on board. Because of that and those challenges, we decided to scale back the study a bit and go into pharmacies that we knew ESAP was operating as it was intended. These were ESAP-friendly pharmacies who were enrolled in demonstration projects funded by the health department. And we wound up going into Albany upstate and the Bronx in New York City. And we enrolled any customer who purchased a non-prescription syringe during the study period, or offered it to any customer. After their purchase, pharmacy staff offered the survey. People typically filled it out within the store somewhere and completed it, turned it back into the pharmacy staff in a sealed envelope, and they were given a $10 gift certificate or voucher to the pharmacy. The survey itself was one page, self-administered and anonymous. It was written at approximately the fourth grade reading level and was available in English and Spanish. We asked about their reason for their purchase that day, their usual source of syringes, their purchasing patterns, needle sharing, usual disposal methods, and their demographic information. We were able to survey 62 customers in Albany and the Bronx in 7 pharmacies. 48% were in Albany, 52% in the Bronx, 81% were male, 45% Hispanic or Latino, 40% were white, 13% were African American. The average age was 36, and it ranged from 18 to 72. These demographics, with the exception of perhaps the percentage white, are roughly representative of IDU studies conducted elsewhere. When we asked their reason for purchasing the needle that day, 60% indicated that they intended to inject heroin, cocaine, speedballs, crystal meth, speed, ice, or other amphetamines. 36% intended to inject insulin or prescription medications. 16% intended to inject non-prescription steroids. These three categories were not mutually exclusive, but when we combined the first and the third, we found that 74% overall intended to inject an illicit drug. Illicit users were less likely than prescription users to be white and more likely to be Hispanic. We found no differences by gender, age, or African-American race. We asked about their usual source of syringes. The rows that are in blue represent safe sources, and the white are potentially unsafe sources. Almost half the time indicated they purchased most of the time through ESAP, through a pharmacy without a prescription. Encouragingly, if you look in the lower right, most people are saying they're never getting them from a stranger or drug dealer. Overall, only 26% reported getting their syringes exclusively from pharmacies or syringe exchange programs, and 58% get their syringes from an unsafe source at least some of the time. We found no differences between illicit users and prescription users in their source of syringe, and no differences by race, gender, or age. About two-thirds of the sample were only purchasing 10 or less syringes per month from a pharmacy. 21% were purchasing 11 to 30, 31%, or excuse me, 10% purchasing 31 to 60, and 3% purchasing over 60. If we look at the pie chart, the slices in blue indicate those that are injecting at least once a day, and that's 80% of the sample. If we go back, we can see that 13% are purchasing enough syringes to sustain a once-a-day injection. And we know from the previous slide they're getting it from other places, but they're also using their own syringes more than once. 10% always use it more than once, and over half do that sometimes. In addition, we asked about receptive sharing. 26% had ever shared a syringe that was used by someone else, and 10% had done it in the past month. When we restricted that to illicit users, 35% had ever shared, and 17% had shared in the past month, which starts to approach levels found in other studies. We also asked about their usual disposal methods when they're done with the syringe. Again, the rows in blue are safe disposal methods, and white are considered unsafe. Over a third used syringe disposal collection boxes most of the time. About a third talked about medical waste and FitPak containers. And then less were using puncture-resistant containers, SEPs, or nursing homes. The good news is that over 80% were saying they never gave them away or threw them on the ground, but quite a few were throwing them loose in the trash, which does pose a risk to other household members and waste management personnel. Overall, almost half engage in safe disposal most of the time, but two-thirds are disposing unsafely at least some of the time. Not surprisingly, those who purchase for illicit use were more likely to dispose unsafely at least some of the time than those who purchase for prescription use. And also those who get their syringes from an unsafe source at least some of the time are more likely to dispose unsafely at least some of the time. There are no differences in syringe disposal by race, gender, or age. So to summarize, from this limited set of data, ESAP appears to be functioning as an effective harm reduction program in that it's targeting who it intended to target, with three-quarters of the respondents reporting they purchased to inject illicit substances. It also seems to be providing somewhat of a service to individuals who need syringes for medical use, as a third of the respondents also purchased for that reason. The sales levels are still low. Even customers in ESAP-friendly pharmacies, which is where this survey was, are not purchasing that many. And again, 80% injecting at least once a day, and only 13% purchasing enough to sustain that injection practice at a sterile level. We think in general awareness is low, given the ban on advertising. One question that I didn't report in the results that we asked was whether or not they had ever tried to buy a non-prescription syringe and been refused. And half of the sample had had that experience, which is a fairly discouraging experience for someone who might have been hesitant to go in the first place. And again, IDUs may still be fearful of arrest. In syringe exchange programs in New York State, participants get a laminated ID card that police recognize as a legitimate way to obtain syringes. And ESAP doesn't have any provision like that, which was something that injection drug users in the focus group mentioned that they were. Almost half of customers reported disposing of their syringes safely, but there's definitely room for improvement here. We've learned from other components of the study that pharmacists are willing to participate more actively in syringe disposal and collection activities, but they may not know how to go about it, they may not know where to refer someone, or they may not have the discretion to do anything about it if they're part of a chain. So in conclusion, these data just give us an initial snapshot of ESAP customers. Even though our sample size was small and we were only in ESAP-registered or friendly pharmacies, our demographics were roughly reflective of IDUs in New York State overall, which is encouraging. So I think what we learned was that when ESAP is implemented in the spirit in which it was intended, when pharmacists are truly on board with the project, that injection drug users will come in and purchase syringes. I'd like to acknowledge our partners in data collection, Centro Civico and VIP Community Services, and also the pharmacies and customers in Albany and the Bronx that participate.